So Leslie and I went to Ukraine in early November of 2017, and I taught for a week at Odessa Theological Seminary and got to know various people there that week. One of them was Slava Gerasimchuk, so I want to say that three times fast, see how you do, all right? And Slava teaches Old Testament at Odessa Seminary. As all of you are aware, in February, the Russian tanks rolled in to the country of Ukraine, and basically the whole country is under siege right now. The seminary is still there. Odessa, of course, is an important port city in southern Ukraine, and as a result of that, it's a strategic place. It controls most of the imports and exports coming out of the Black Sea, and that's a crucial region really for the whole world, not just Ukraine. And so when we got back from Hume Lake a couple of weeks ago, I got a call from Gary. And by the way, Gary worked with Jen's dad at Quail Lakes Baptist Church up in Stockton for, 15 years. So then he kind of morphed into this deal of getting people to come to Russia and Ukraine. So now where was I? Man, I get thrown off pretty. Old age is really creeping up. I tell my daughters to please remember that I forgot stuff when I was young, so now that I'm forgetting stuff and it looks a little more pitiful, to please not, you know, send me away anyplace too soon. So at any rate, we went to Ukraine, we met Slava. He is a dear brother in Christ, and he is here to tell us what's happening in Ukraine. He'll be bringing us a message from God's Word as well. And so let's welcome Slava Gerasimchuk.
Good morning, Magnolia Baptist Church. I'm really glad to be here with you, brothers and sisters, and bring greetings from my church, the Second Baptist Church of Odessa, and also our seminary, Odessa Theological Seminary. So I'm standing here as a representative of that seminary. It's in Ukraine, in the south of Ukraine. And Ukraine, as you know, has been making headlines in the media around the globe since the 24th of February this year. All of you know the reason why the focus of the whole world has been on my country, on Ukraine. It is because of the Russian-Ukrainian war. That's the main reason. Even though the news agencies don't focus on that part of the world very much these days, the war is far from over. And before I share some information about the Odessa Seminary and its life and ministry in these tragic days for millions of Ukrainians, I would like to invite you to ponder over the experience of one man whose life in some periods and aspects reminds me of the life of many Christians in Ukraine today. Since I came to the U.S. about 2 weeks ago, I have been asked many times, how are your seminary students and professors doing in Ukraine right now? What is their life like? And I'm sure each of them would tell you their own story of how they have been dealing with new challenges of the war. But I think there's one thing in common, something that can describe the feelings of most of them, and in fact many evangelical Christians in Ukraine right now. And in order to find out what it is, I will now read Psalm 57 and try to draw some lessons from this very powerful poetic expression of the thoughts, fears, and hopes of a person of faith driven into a cave to hide from the persecution of a cruel king. And as you see, the title of my sermon, we'll be talking about David, who was hiding in a cave from Saul. So let us read the whole psalm and see what the author wants to tell us about some of the things that he understood or realized when he was experiencing loneliness, danger, and fear in a cave. Psalm 57, to the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David. Miktam is a word of unclear meaning. Some translations render the term as golden psalm, others prefer inscription. So a miktam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. Selah. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man, whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp, harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, our God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen. Imagine your feelings when you're hiding from some danger in a dark place, like a cave. And read this psalm again and let David tell you something about his thoughts, emotions, and prayerful words in a cave which he chose as his hiding place. David was hiding in the cave from Saul and his people. Those guys were searching high and low for him with the sole purpose of ridding their master of his unwanted rival. This was an extremely difficult period in David's life, and for a long time, David had to hide from the menace of Saul and his agents. Almost until Saul's death, David knew no rest from the evil schemes of this king. And the first book of Samuel is full of stories of David as a persecuted outcast on the run from Saul. David's life was full of misery, pain, and fear during a substantial period of time of Saul's reign. And Psalm 57 reflects some of those feelings of desolation and wretchedness. But it also shows other more positive traits that David exhibited in this dark and lonely place and time in his life. I'm talking now about some really important characteristics that each true worshiper of God should possess. And these characteristics can be expressed through the prism of David's special knowledge or experience, which he gained, I think, in the time of his troubles, and also which he demonstrated in this period of time. And many Christians in Ukraine are now going through similar cave life experience of life in the context of war and sufferings. They learn how to be God's true worshipers in circumstances very different from those they faced just 5 months ago. So what are these characteristics that David demonstrates here in this psalm? Well, first of all, David knows the God of his salvation. David knew God as the Almighty, as the Most High, as the loving, saving, exalted, as the protector, as the Savior, as the exalted God. And in the first verse, David uses the ancient image of God as an eagle that spreads its wings over its eaglets. So in Ukraine, we sometimes sing the song, "I will live under the cover of your wings." And for David, those words had a practical, almost literal meaning. He lived under the protection of the wings of Yahweh, and he couldn't have lived any other way. He personally knew God whom he worshipped. Now, there's a very important lesson for us here. You see, our knowledge in general and knowledge in times of crisis can be very different things. We can be perfectly aware of God and his goodness We can be even very well versed in theology. We can answer complex biblical questions. But how much of this knowledge is alive and effective when we are, figuratively speaking, trapped in a cave? What does our knowledge tell us when it is challenged by life itself? Does it continue to support us, to inspire us, encourage us to move on, or is it just silent? Only a man who truly knows God can speak of him as David does when the enemy is at the gate, when there's danger, grief, deprivation. This comes from the fact that David not only knew about God, but also he also knew God personally and deeply. So to the question, what helped David to survive, not blend into this unpredictable and treacherous world, we can reply, a reliable anchor in the form of the knowledge of God and faith in his plan and salvation. Secondly, David knows the seriousness of his situation. David knew very well what enemies he was dealing with. And verses 4 and 6 provide an exhaustive description of what they are. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. They set a net for my steps. Those were very bloodthirsty, cruel, and merciless people who would stop at nothing to do away with David. And we as Christians may have earthly enemies, and right now Ukraine knows clearly who its enemy is. And we may have lots of earthly enemies who can cause us many problems. And you know what? We must pray for them. But there's one enemy who will never cease to be our opponent. And many believers often forget that our life is a spiritual battlefield. And do we really think that we can, without cause, live our lives easily and carelessly like in movies? I'm sure you have seen many films in which a hero is portrayed almost as an invincible force of nature. And he alone can annihilate hordes of bad guys and save the world in the process. And kind of towards the end of the movie, you can see him walking into the sunset or sunrise. And then it's the end. Our life is far from such a fairy tale scenario. In spiritual life, things can get pretty tough and depressing. And victory will hardly be possible with serious breaches in our spiritual defense. Many of my friends who began their ministry as devout Christians and preachers are now far from God or really struggling in their spiritual lives. And this victory will be even further if we stop perceiving life as a constant spiritual battle. And then there's a problem of false security. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, if everything is fine and calm, if our horizon is clear, that we have no trials and no temptations, then we are probably asleep and we need to quickly pin ourselves and wake up before it's too late. So to know where the danger comes from, to understand clearly where the source of danger is to be at least partially prepared for it. So David knew his enemies. He knew exactly what they were capable of, and he made no illusions about those people, about those fellows. Thirdly, David knows the condition, the state of his heart. And when I read this psalm, I see David, in whose heart there's something unshakable, a solid foundation, and his faith. And in verse 7, David describes his condition as follows. My heart is steadfast. He says, my heart is steadfast. This is something that will tell you a lot about David and his condition, dear brothers. In one translation, it is, instead of the word steadfast, it is the word ready. So my heart is ready. Such tests and tribulations, such enemies, such a difficult life, but David's heart is ready. Ready indeed. And here we can go even further and think, is there a direct connection between all these trials and difficulties and the steadfastness or readiness of David's heart? There can be no simple or single answer because we don't know everything, But something tells me that all this crisis that happened to David played a significant role in preparing his heart. So do we know the state or the condition of our heart? Do we know what helps us to prepare our hearts to worship the Lord today? Unfortunately, today, the most common extreme is a complete misunderstanding sometimes, or even rejection of sufferings, of this kind of the trial and problems that helps, that can sometimes teach us something. And right now, many Ukrainians, they're learning the hard way how to be faithful to God, because it's easy to be faithful when you have everything going for you. It's more difficult to be faithful when there's a war, when there's a problem, when there's something bad going on against you. And fourthly, and finally, David knows what he should do. In all his misadventures, David remained a true worshiper who knew that God is worthy of glory, even if the one who worships him is forced to look at the sky through a narrow cave. God is still worthy of all worship, even in those times. My heart is steadfast, verse 7. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake my glory, awake a harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn, beautiful line. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. In many psalms, this psalm is no exception, there's one surprising phenomenon. This is a unique feature observed in a number of psalms. It's a transition from lamentation, from weeping, from tearful petition to jubilation and praise. And in my opinion, it's one of the most significant, but unfortunately often ignored, overlooked signs of maturity of a Christian. Ability to glorify, to praise God, even in times of profound crises. When the war started, those believers who remained in their homes and cities, you know, which came under severe shelling from the Russian army, were hiding in the basements of their church buildings and underground bomb shelters. And here you can see some pictures of one of the churches gathering in a bomb shelter for prayer and evangelism. So, and there was this short text in the description underneath these pictures. So I'm quoting, quote, "Last week we were having a church service in one of these underground bomb shelters when four bombs landed within a couple hundred yards. We did not feel the impact in our underground shelter. Praise God." So despite a complex, dramatic life, ups and downs, David appears to be a mature worshiper who possesses the most important knowledge and skills. So David knows the God of his salvation. He knows the seriousness of his situation, but he does not allow the situation to corner him or defeat him. David knows the state of his heart, and he knows what he must now do, must do in the midst of all these tribulations and problems. So he must praise the Lord no matter what. And didn't Jesus tell the Samaritan woman about such worshippers when he said, "Such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers"? So I have some questions for reflection. Do you know God is your merciful and serving Lord and Savior? Do you know that our life is a spiritual battlefield, or we forget about it? We view life maybe in different terms. Do you know the condition of your heart today? And do you know what you have to do now, whether you are in a cave or on top of a mountain? May God help each of us to see the reality of our situation, the degree of readiness of our heart, and an ever, you know, constant need to call on Him, to call on our God, wherever we are. And right now, I still have like 5 or 10 minutes. I would like to tell you a little bit about some of the things that our students and faculty do in order to withstand this tremendous heaviness of war, in order not to cave in, and in order to remain faithful to God in given circumstances. war and suffering, tribulations. So the next part, my speech will be dedicated to the seminary and its mission in this critical time. Most of my colleagues are right now in Ukraine, so they cannot leave Ukraine, because all Ukrainian men between the age of 18 and 60 are liable for military service and thus are forbidden from leaving the country. I can travel because I'm a Moldavian citizen. I have a Moldavian passport. So when the war began, I brought my family to my hometown in Moldova. And since the beginning of the war, I have been to Odessa, Ukraine, twice, spending about each time about 10 days. And last time I was there, maybe 3 weeks ago, something like that. I'm gonna tell you something that I saw with my own eyes and I heard from my colleagues who are now in Ukraine. So this information is reliable. We are all learning right now to live in the new reality of war. Even though, you know, the war had been with us for the past 8 years, it had been concentrated in one corner of the country, the Donbas area in the east of Ukraine. Almost every day we heard about casualties among soldiers and civil population, but the military operations did not spread to other parts of Ukraine, and many people hoped that one day the political leaders on both sides would find a diplomatic solution to the conflict. This time everything is different. On the 24th of February, the Russian army attacked Ukraine by land, air, and sea, bringing death and devastation to hundreds of Ukrainian cities and towns. What was meant as a rather quick and easy to achieve special military operation has turned into a full-scale war. And today is the 137th day of the war. During the previous 136 days, so many people's lives have been upended in ways no one anticipated. The war has claimed tens of thousands of lives, forced millions of Ukrainians to leave their homes and country as refugees, and caused colossal economic and social damage to our nation. According to the UN, at least 12 million people have fled their homes since the Russian invasion. More than 5 million have left for neighboring countries, while 7 million people are still thought to be displaced inside Ukraine itself. So Odessa Theological Seminary's life and function were disrupted during the first days of the war. The seminary was established 33 years ago in the final years of the Soviet Union, and being one of the oldest theological schools in the former USSR, we have had many challenging and painful events in the course of our history. But the day the war began, everybody realized there was going to be something that neither the seminary nor each of us individually had ever experienced before. So many questions suddenly filled up our minds. What are we supposed to do now? Several hours after the start of the war, our rector, our president, Alexander Gaychenko, and other people on the leadership team decided that we had to evacuate our families. So there were some students on campus at that time. They joined those members of our faculty and their families who were leaving Odessa and going to safer places in the west of the country. After that, we decided to collect the most valuable things, especially documents and computers, and send them to the western Ukraine. I remember how we packed those things in haste and loaded them into a van, and very soon the unfolding events showed us that we were right to do what we did with those documents and other valuable stuff. In the beginning of March, that is less than 2 weeks after the Russians began their full-scale war, their army occupied Kherson, a major city in the south of Ukraine, located about 140 miles from Odessa. The Russian troops also seized the local seminary, Tavriz Christian Institute, and as far as I know, its campus is now used as barracks for the Russian soldiers. So right now, I would like to tell you a little bit about our seminary during these 4.5 months of the war. I will show you some pictures and describe the ministry of the seminary, its faculty and students in this period. So broadly speaking, the seminary is now much more than just an educational or theological institution. that trains ministers. Our activities now go far beyond that central goal of our existence as a theological school. And here are the main categories of activities that OTS does for the churches and society these days. Necessities, evacuation, health, communication, and advocacy. So, in this time of war and suffering for millions of Ukrainians, our students, graduates, and faculty provide necessities. I'm talking about food and water over here for those in need. You can see how some of us, you know, students give out food packages to people on the street. You could see that of this one, our seminary just recently purchased a mid-sized truck, and we use that truck to bring humanitarian aid to the cities close, I mean to battlefields like Nikolaev is one of the cities. So they work really hard in order to do that. And now evacuation, especially in the very beginning, in the first 2 months of the war, with the help of our students and professors, the seminary has been able to provide transportation for those who were in need of evacuation. And in some cases, using money from a special fund, we provided fuel for the drivers helping people to evacuate or covered evacuation costs for those who use trains or intercity buses. So this is also one of the things, one of the areas in which we try to help others, to help. Also medicine. In some places there's shortage of medicine, and we have been able to bring some medicine to some of those places. And we are talking here about basic drugs. But even those medicaments were such a great gift for those who needed them. So we didn't do much here because we are not a medical institution, but we tried to do something by bringing some just basic drugs to the people who need them. And advocacy. So in the area of advocacy, we try to do everything in our power to share the truth about the Russian-Ukrainian war. We publish a theological journal here. This is the most recent issue. It was published less than a month ago. It is dedicated to the war. It's called God Among Ruins. And here we have some of our professors, writing their articles. I wrote my article, which is called The Time of the Silent Harps, Reflections on Psalm 137. So there's some other articles. I can just give you the names. Theological Reflections on the Nature of War, War, Hatred, and Forgiveness, The Russian Christians, and the Russian-Ukrainian War, and so on. So the whole thing is dedicated to this war, to this conflict. And in fact, right now, this issue is being translated into English, and very soon I hope that maybe it'll be available for purchase even in your country over here. And of course, this is the editor-in-chief and one of our editors, during the presentation of the journal. And of course, we continue to the academic process. We have many programs. Most of them are practical, so we train pastors and preachers, leaders of women's ministry, children's ministry, and so on. And we, with God's help, we had been able to complete this academic year. Of course, we did most of the training online via Zoom. This is a typical picture. It's me teaching one of the groups before the war, and this is how we did it during the war. So Zoom, online, most of the training, but we managed to finish this academic year. And now we are thinking of enrolling new students for the next academic year. So this will be one of my prayer requests for each of you. Please pray for us. And so right now we view our seminary as a center for practical theology. We want to organize seminars, retreats for pastors, different programs, conferences, and also publish books and journals about to help the local Christians to understand what's going on and to find this prophetic voice in the midst of suffering, war, and destruction. So we view it as one of our major tasks right now. So I'm here to tell you a little bit about our seminary and to ask you to pray for us and to consider becoming our friends, because we need friends in this time. Friends who are on our side, who think about us, who pray for us, who are willing to share something with us. So thank you very much for allowing me to come here, to stand here before you, to address you with the Word of God, and to tell you a little bit about our seminary. Seminary is so beloved to my heart because I studied there and I have worked there for more than 15 years. So this is the seminary that I love dearly. Thank you again, Brother Mike, and all of you. God bless you.
One of the things that the
seminary is not directly involved in that, but one of our graduates, in fact, there are two more who are now there speakers. They are working right now at a retreat or a summer camp for widows. Can you imagine 300 widows? It's those who lost their husbands in this conflict, and the one that started in 2014. So 300 widows, 300 ladies will come with their children to that summer camp right now. And so this is just one of the things that our seminary and other seminaries are doing, something like that. So we really need you to pray for those programs that we can do for others, especially for Christians.
This was really personalized to me last night, especially. I was showing some pictures to Gary and Slava from Leslie and I's stay in 2017. We were taken out to Odessa to kind of look at the city, and it was just beautiful at night. One of the young men who took us out, his name was Dimitri. Yep. And Dimitri was a young man, and he just really treated us well. He asked me, for some reason during this time, Mike, how old are you? And I said, I'm, at the time, I think I was 61. He said, oh, you still look fresh. So Dimitri, thanks, Dimitri. I guess that's a compliment.
Oh, yeah, it was a compliment.
But Dimitri is married. His wife is pregnant, yep. And he has been called into service. He's a young man. So he is, that's how individuals are being impacted by this. Obviously, it's a time of war for that country. People like Dimitri are going out to meet the enemy. They're in harm's way and in danger. It's tragic to see what can happen when one leader decides he's going to do something that's going to affect so many lives. When we pray for you, so if you could give us just one or two other ways we could pray. And then while he's doing that, I'd like any of the elders who are here to come on up. And Gary, if you would also come up, and we'll just have a time of prayer before we wrap this up.
Yeah, please pray for the seminary in general, for the leadership, because we're going to introduce some new programs. One will focus on helping others psychologically, especially those with PTSD and other problems. So this is just one of the areas. Help us to continue our humanitarian mission, social work, because we need to do it. Help us to be able to enroll new students in this time. Not many people are thinking of studying at a seminary, but we want to go on, we want to continue. Help us to continue publish things like this. Pray for that, because this is something that is very, very important right now, because many Christians just don't know what to think about that. They cannot express their thoughts. So things like this, the projects like this will give them insights and ideas and something to think about. So these are just some of the prayer requests for you. Thank you again.
Thank you, Slava. And also, Sue and Ken, if you could come up here too, representing what we're doing with missions here. So we are going to be giving a gift to the seminary through Magnolia Baptist Church, and there's a way to do this online. If you as individuals would like to give gifts as well, in the back there's a card on one of the tables, and it explains what you can do to help out the seminary and to help them not only continue their mission to train men and women for the ministry, but also to enable them to supply more humanitarian aid and keep doing the things they're doing during this time of war that's going on in this country. So, Slava, again, thank you for being with
thank
us.
Thank you so much, Mike.
And we
God
love
bless.
You. And thank you.
You
so much, brother.
Thank you. Thanks.
So if we could gather around here, and the worship team can come on out and be ready to go, but let's just have a word of prayer and okay. Put our hands on Gary and Slava and And we pray. So, Lord, we thank you for the courage that has been demonstrated by individuals all over Ukraine. We thank you for the Christians who are there, who are doing your work in the midst of this. We thank you for the understanding that it is a serious thing, and the understanding that you call upon us as your people to pray for our enemies. This is really difficult during a time like this when we would like to do anything but that. But Lord, we do. We pray for those who are pressing Ukraine right now. We pray for a speedy end to this. Lord, we ask that in your mercy, you would put an end to this conflict in a way of your choosing. In the meantime, we do pray that you would continue to encourage Slava and the rest of the professors and leadership. We pray for Alexander, the president of Odessa Theological Seminary, and for his heart, Lord. We pray for the students who will be taking part in theological education even while they are under threat of their lives in war during this next semester. And we pray that Odessa Seminary would be able to continue to fulfill the ministry that they have during this time as your people rise up and provide this kind of aid to people who so desperately need it. And we pray that we at Magnolia would not forget while this is going on, and while it may not be making the same headlines that it made in late February and early March, the conflict continues. And so, Lord, may we not forget that. May we continue to uphold and pray those who are facing the brunt of this in that nation. And again, Lord, we pray for a speedy end to this. We thank you for Slava. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for Gary and his ministry with us as well. It's so good that we can be a part of this. And we pray for the gifts that will be coming in as well, that you would use them for your glory in that country. And we pray all of these things, Jesus, in your precious, gracious, powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you.